Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome all to the FSHD Society radio show. Very excited to be here. This is a pre-recorded show, but you can chat in still with comments through YouTube, Facebook, where it airs live or premieres, in this case, live for you. You can also email the show, even after the show, at fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. That's the best way to get in contact with me. Also, if you want to find past shows, they're all available for you, either Spotify, Google Podcasts, pretty much anywhere that you listen to podcasts, you can find it there. Also, check out YouTube channel for all the past shows that have been recorded on there as well. Follow the FSHD Society on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, pretty much you name it. We'd love to have you follow the show and, of course, what's happening within the FSHD Society. Great show here in store as you're looking in, and we have this month's guest is Lori Brandt. She is a life coach, spiritual coach, bachelor in psychology and education. Find her at loribrandt.com, and I'm just really excited to have her on because there's a lot here to talk about and unpack in this conversation, and we welcome her now. Hi, Lori. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time to join us and share a little bit about yourself and all the great work you're doing. I'm actually personally fascinated with life coaching. I do athletic coaching, but I find that there's definitely some life lessons that I like to cloak, as I say, within sports for young people, and love to learn from other life coaches of, you know, their tools of the trade. And so when I visited your website, I was just really intrigued. I was like, wow, this is very interesting. A lot of nuggets of wisdom within there. And I definitely want to get to that point. But first, I think I want to build off of you have FSHD, and I'd love to hear or share the your FSHD story, as I call it.
Yeah, we all got that, don't
right,
we?
Right. Yes.
Well, I guess, you know, you talk about baseball. I mean, mm-hmm. I was the pitcher, the most valuable player in grade 8.
Nice.
And then grade 9, got cut, couldn't play any sports. And I didn't really get what was happening at the time because no one in my family had been diagnosed with FSH. Mm-hmm. So I just chalked it up to, oh, well, you know, people got better and I didn't.
Yeah.
And the next thing I noticed was I couldn't raise my arms above my head. And for whatever reason, my parents didn't do anything about it. I mean, and I guess they didn't make a big deal about it. So I didn't make a big deal about it. And I just kind of continued on. And it wasn't until I was in university and I was studying. And I guess it was the position I was sitting in, but my back was really starting to bother me. And I had gone to the doctor at that point. And that's when I had my official diagnosis. But at the time, they told me that, oh, well, you know, you just won't be able to lift your arms above your head and it won't go into your legs. So there was a lot of misinformation at the time.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I was quite devastated. I just, you know, had all these images of, you know, slouched over in a wheelchair and unable to care for myself. Like that was like right. The next step in my mental vision of what was in store for me. But, you know, time went on and, you know, nothing really changed except for the knowledge that I had FSH. And so I kind of just, you know, tucked it away and deep inside where all those in that place where we don't want to deal with things. Mm-hmm. And I just continued on. And so I, you know, went to university, I became a teacher, I started my teaching career. And, you know, I was limited in some ways, but, you know, I still played volleyball, even though I couldn't put my arms above my head.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until after the birth of my second child. And I just, it's like I hit a wall.
Wow.
And I remember being at work, and it was September. So we just started back. Mm-hmm. And I was in so much pain. Like I remember taking Tylenol 3s to get through the day, like every 4 hours. And it was like this flu, like pain, like you couldn't touch me because everything hurt. And I was at a loss because I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know that the FSH had gone into my legs, and I overall was progressing. Mm-hmm. And so that was really my life altering moment, because what I had, all the strategies I had learned to that point about dealing with life had worked until that minute, because I couldn't work, couldn't take care of my kids. I felt like I couldn't even take care of me because I was in so much pain, and I couldn't make it better.
Yeah.
And it put a lot of stress on my marriage. I really found myself probably in the lowest point of my life, because, you know, who I was so wrapped up in being married and being a teacher and being a mom and being active. And all of a sudden that was gone. Mm. So I was still walking.
Yeah.
You know, and now it seems funny that when I look back, because that was, how long ago was that? I'm trying to think, like maybe 24 years ago.
Okay.
So since then, the FSH has slowly progressed. So now I am in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
I use it full time since 2012.
Okay.
And the remarkable thing about my journey is that, I'm not able to walk, but I'm happier than I've ever been.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah, that's the real kicker, because back then I could walk, but was at my lowest point, and now I can't, but I'm at the happiest point. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing that you say that. And I keyed in on something that you were kind of talking about there when you said that, you know, it was such a struggle as the pain increased and you couldn't take care of yourself and how it was affecting your legs. Did it then seem like it was almost attacking the identity of you right at the time? Is that accurate?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Who I thought I was, was totally challenged, because if I'm not a teacher, if I'm not a mom, if I'm not a wife, if I'm not, you know, that outgoing, vivacious friend that everybody knew, who was I? And, you know, and then all the other stories come up, you know, am I of value? How can I contribute now? If I'm not that, then, you know, it was just this version of who I thought I was stripped away. And it was really scary, because now I understand that what it did is it triggered a lot of negative beliefs and belief systems that I had, and they all became active, which kind of blew the whole experience out of proportion for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine then how you got to where you are. You said about 24 years ago, you were at that state, and now you're the happiest you've been, even though the ability to walk is gone. You're in this wheelchair all the time. So, I mean, 24 years is a long stretch, right? That's like a long chunk of time for most would consider that a good chunk. So what was that journey like then? What was involved there to change your mindset in such a positive way from then to now?
Great question. I want to preface a little bit of history as well,
sure.
Because this was a significant part of the journey. My father passed away when I was 13, and my mother passed away when I was 18.
Oh my
So gosh. By the time I was 20 or 19, I guess, sorry, I was 19 when I got diagnosed. So I had come off of a wave of very challenging, depressing type experiences. So the FSH at that point, I think it was just like the cliffhanger, like,
yeah.
It's like, really?
Right.
And it was, and I think that's what led to the real bottoming out. And, So what was my journey back? For a long time, Tim, really was, I just tried to ignore it as much as I could. I tried to just push my way through because that's what I knew to do. That was the only strategy I had. But it didn't work. And I remember having a conversation with my husband. I said, you know what? I know you love me. I know I'm in a great marriage. I know I have great children, but I'm not happy.
Right.
And I just knew that if I kept doing what I was doing, I was just waiting to die. Like I really was. It was just like, my life's over. I'm just going to wait until I die. And I guess is somewhere deep inside, I just believe that this isn't what I was put on this earth to do. Like I wasn't put on the earth to get to this point and just give up. And there was some kind of inkling inside that I needed to reach out for help.
Yeah.
And so I tried to get a psychologist. I tried to get a psychiatrist. And at the time, I went to counselors and, you know, it's kind of funny, but at the time I was like, I knew what to say. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it was like, almost like I'm trying to heal myself, even though I'm in the presence of professionals, because that's what I'd learned to do. Like I had this strategy that I'll just take care of it. I'll just push through. I'll just figure it out. And here I was with professionals and I was still doing that. So I wasn't even really allowing them to help me.
Huh.
But on the other hand, that very well might be what led me to where I am today, because I wasn't relying on them. I had to rely on me, but I knew I had to do something different because what I was doing wasn't working anymore. So I started reading and, you know, self-help books. Honestly, hundreds. I just kept reading and reading. And there was this person in my life who showed me the idea of limiting beliefs and patterns. And when she talked about it, it was like a bell went off in my head. And I recognized that if I have those patterns, based on my experience, any type of patterns that I've learned from other people and they're influencing my experience, then I'm going to do the same for my children. And I did not want to be this, create these patterns from this depressed mother that I was. And I thought, I've got to figure this out. And that's really the beginning of my journey, is I began trying to understand limiting beliefs, the patterns that we learn to follow unconsciously, and how it was impacting my life. Because I figured if I could figure out what they were, I could change them.
So did that realization with, you know, it sounds like you're definitely in a search mode, reading hundreds of those self-help books, trying to find some path or some way, and then the bell rung that there's something within the patterns of behavior, it sounds like, or mindset. Then where in there did you become what you are now as a life coach?
That's a really good question. I think that what happened is that when I began implementing new strategies like meditation, that was a big one.
Okay.
I began exercising. So, you know, back then we were told don't exercise.
Right.
But, you know, I remember walking 5 minutes barefoot in the grass, and that was my exercise for the day, but that was so much more than what I was doing before. So it was like any type of exercise. So slowly I was building up my endurance to the point where I was able to walk like a mile down the road. I was able to swim, and that I think was huge. The meditation helped with the pain and also controlling my negative, incessant thinking about what's going to happen. What if this happens? What if that happens? You know, I really had to tame that because it was occupying my entire experience. And when I did that, I believe that what it did is it opened me up to a different way of seeing things. so that when I slowed down my thoughts and I was able to take a look at, you know, what was I believing to be true? So for example, if I could use an example, because I think that talking about this isn't very helpful, unless you can see how a pattern can affect how I'm moving through the world. Would you be open to that?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So I had this incredible fear of asking for help. Okay. So someone with FSH, this is really tough because I'm kind of in a position where I need to ask for help sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so what I would do is if I had a plan to, let's say, go out of town, then I would plan weeks in advance, you know, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go to the washroom? You know, what if I fall? What if I get too tired? What if, and I'd be making all these crazy plans to make sure that I would never have to ask for help.
Yeah.
And yet I myself would stop everything to help someone else. Hmm. So, but I had this belief that I myself couldn't ask for help. Didn't know where it came from. Don't understand it, but that's just how I was living my life. So I was over planning everything, always trying to control my experience. And so through my work on limiting beliefs and patterns, I had this recall of a memory. And so when my mother was dying of cancer, I remember watching all these people coming over and supporting her, and it was beautiful. But my mother kind of had this odd reaction. She would ask them to do things for her every time someone came over, like, oh, can you change a light bulb, or can you do this? And like, just it was just, I don't know, I was just observing it. I didn't really think much of it at the time. And then these people, I think, stopped coming over because they thought, she doesn't really want to visit with us. She just wants us to do things for her.
Right.
So here I am, 18-year-old, and I'm unconsciously absorbing this experience. And my mind puts together, you know, people love you until you ask them for help and then they leave. So it seems like, really, you took that in? And it's like, yes, because as soon as I, by doing the work that I do, was able to identify where that came from, it was like, oh my gosh, I was able to like let go of all the planning, of all the need for control, of, you know, just, you know, I felt safe every day and no longer had the need to create this illusion of safety by controlling my outside experiences. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So, yeah. So when people say like, how are you happy now?
Yeah.
It's from unveiling and transforming a series of those types of patterns so that when I wake up in the morning, I'm no longer concerned about, will I need help? What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. You know, is this going to get worse? Who's going to, like, all that's just gone. So when that noise is gone, all that's left is your natural state of peace, calm, and happiness. It's a beautiful thing.
Wow. I'm a little blown away. I'm trying to digest some of that because it's just, it's a different way of thinking. You're talking about planning and being and like kind of letting some of that go. There's no question. That's a lot of my personality, you know, trying to keep things planned and in control. Not that it all has to be my way or forget it, but just some type of, you know, got to stay within the guidelines of like when you're doing something in process or organizing something. And to kind of let go of some of those things, and that equals letting go of the stress. But that, you're right. I think that does translate not just in chores or things you want to do, but also how you behave or think or feel, especially in regards to FSHD. It is definitely a disease where you don't have control sometimes, and the pain comes and the things go, you know, ability goes away in some cases. How do you accept the fact? I guess here's my question. What advice would you have for people to kind of almost let go of that sense of losing control stinks? Like I want more control over the pain or what I can't do or can do, you know, what kind of advice would you give?
You know what? And that's the same question I asked. It's like, how do I heal? How do I get my life back to where it used to be? How do I,
or at least a sense of it, right?
Yeah. The thing is about control is I believe it's an illusion. I don't think any of us have any control over anything. I think that when reality matches what we want, we think we're in control. And reality doesn't match what we want, we think we're out of control. So when you say, how do we let go of control? It's like letting go of the illusion that everything out here is what's making you happy, including the body. But my experience is completely opposite to that. My body has nothing to do with my happiness. My happiness has to do with how I perceive my reality. So, you know, I have another story if you're open to it.
Yeah, of course.
Because this is a, you know, this is my most favorite story. So, okay. So I've got my walker and I've got teenage kids. So I don't know anybody out there who's got teenage kids, but I lived in my van. Okay. Yeah. So I was driving them there and driving them here and driving them there.
Yeah.
So I had to pick them up late at work and it was 11 o'clock at night. And really by the end of the day, I'm exhausted. I'm gripping this walker and I'm trying not to trip because I know I'm tired.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm just about at my door and doesn't my toe catch the rug and I fall over my walker. So I'm still on my feet, but I'm bent over and I can't straighten up. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, so do I fall? Do I stand up? Do I, you know, I can't do that. Can I shimmy here? And I'm just so stuck. And I thought, okay, so maybe if I can just shimmy over to my neighbor's door, I can knock the top of my head on his door and he'd come and help me up.
Oh my gosh.
So I go like that with the top of my head.
Yeah.
And the dog barks and I'm like, oh, thank God they heard me.
Yeah.
And no one comes. Like, oh no.
The dog's they looked barking, at the
people
but
and they didn't see me. Because I bent over.
Oh,
so then I bang my head again and he comes out and he helps me. And it was that moment I said, you know what? Screw this. I'm getting a wheelchair. This is so ridiculous. Like, what am I doing? And what was I doing? I was living a life that everybody else wanted me to live. Everyone told me you got to keep walking. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Mm-hmm. If, you know, every TV show about someone who's in a wheelchair is all about them getting back to walking. So like I had all these stories, all these patterns or these belief systems that the worst thing that could ever happen is to go in a wheelchair. And so that's why I resisted it. Yeah. But that day I just said, you know what? Enough. I'm just doing it. And I did what I had to do. I got in a wheelchair. And, oh my God. It was like, my whole life changed. In the better, because all that mind fog of don't catch your toe, you're tired, you can't do that. You know, if you sit down, how am I going to get up? Like all that just ended. I got to just be me. I got to hear what people were saying instead of being in my head thinking about how I was going to get back up again. I was present with my life. I could smell the flowers. It sounds crazy, but I no longer had to deal with what I couldn't do. And instead I was able to focus in on all these things that I could do. And so I guess the thing is that when I forget your original question.
Well, I think you're kind of answering it. And that was, you know, basically like, you know, how do you help people to kind of let go of the fact that you're losing control? Right. I mean, and you're saying it.
Just be okay with what's happening. So that my body, my life was telling me that I shouldn't be walking anymore.
Right.
And I just resisted it. Mm-hmm. I was going to do whatever I could to keep doing what was becoming more difficult. When I opened myself up to moving through the world in a different way, my whole world opened up.
Right. Well, and, you thought probably wheelchair was an ending, right? It was like, oh no, this is an ending. This is a bad ending. Where really it sounds like it was a beginning. Opening. Yeah, it was an opening, right. Yeah.
Because when I went into the chair, I think that what it did is it just freed up me to to kind of get to know who I was. I wasn't the person with the FSH. I wasn't the person who, I just had all this time now to figure out, you know, what do I want? You know, what do I want for my life? When I'm looking back after the fact, I'm dead and I'm looking back, how do I want to see myself living my life? Yeah. Do I want to see myself, you know, wishing it was different? Or do I want to look back and see a woman who like said, okay, bring it on. Let's do this. Right. You know, how are we going to do this? Yeah.
Yeah. You saw it as a challenge to yet another challenge to overcome. And, I don't know about you, but what I've found in a lot of people, and you are definitely fall within this, is that people with FSHD are just amazing adapters. You know, they just know how to figure it out. And I think, though, that also comes with it's a tough then ask to ask for help. You know, I don't have FSHD as a bad progression or, you know, very aggressive progression as others, but there are things that are a challenge. You know, I always use the example of doing little things around the house, for instance, just like working on plumbing under a sink or something, right? And I'll do those little homeowner type things. But I have to think about, how am I going to hold my arms up under there in a tight space and still be able to do things? And my wife will always, you know, look at me and say, do you need help? Do you want me to do it? And it's like, I don't want her to, because I feel that if I can't do that, what's next? What's on now the list of I can'ts anymore? And the less I put on that list, the better. But I like your example here, Lori, that it's not I can't. It's now you can do this, and then it helps relieve stress of having to think about those things. And you can concentrate on, like you said, smelling the flowers a little bit, because maybe your mind's not so occupied with the negative. Yeah.
But I think that I think the biggest message here for me is that when you have FSH and you're in that low spot, someone says, just let it go, just smell the roses. You feel like you want to yell at them because it's like, yeah, but you don't understand. And I think that that is the jewel here, is that no one will ever understand what it's like to be you. No one.
No one. Right.
No one. This is your journey. And you're coming to the plate with this experience based on your unique background. And so there is no cure-all for anybody. But what I have found is that if you can identify your past patterns that may be influencing how you're reacting to your FSH, then that will help with your journey through it.
You mentioned that a couple times, your past patterns, the things are sometimes like a pattern of maybe behavior or thinking. And looking into, you know, a little bit of the book, you know, that's you have out, the alignment strategy, which people can get now. You mentioned a term, less loops. Am I accurate in that? That term?
Yeah. What I noticed is that, so I wrote a book called The Happiness Toolbox, Finding Happiness Regardless of Circumstances. And that really was about my journey with FSH and a little bit more of that story. Mm-hmm. The alignment strategy really has come out of the 20 years of me working on my own limiting beliefs and working with others. And what I was able to identify is that it's, you know, you know how people say, okay, just think happy thoughts or just repeat positive affirmations.
Yeah, over and over again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I found that didn't work. It worked in the interim. It can make a little bit of an influence, but it's really hard to maintain. And so what I identified is that there's not only limiting beliefs or negative thoughts that I have, I have negative thoughts that are attached to negative emotions, which are also attached to behaviors that I've created to deal with the negative emotions. So what that really means is that when I'm trying to ask for help when I need help, but I feel really awful about needing to do that. So for example, because I shared this with you, when I'm in a position, like, okay, just the other day, I'm out on my porch and I'm reclined in my wheelchair, taken in the sun, and I go to move and my chair's not moving.
Oh no.
I'm like, oh my God. I live alone. So like, it's just, and I'm like, okay, this is great. So, in the past, what would happen is I would have thought, oh my gosh, I'm stuck. I'm going to be here forever. I'm going to wet myself. I'm not, you know, like it just, all these stories would come in that would trigger like all the emotions that I believe happen when nobody loves you. Because remember, this is triggering my old pattern of asking for help. And I'm imagining my unconsciously. Okay. So I don't know where I'm doing this, but I would look at my mother. She was dying. She was sad. She was frail. She was weak. And I'm connecting to those emotions. I can't ask for help because that means I'm weak, I'm frail,
Right.
I'm dying. And when those emotions get triggered in within me, they're rising up, right? What do I want to do? I want to get rid of them. I've got to get rid of them. So I have to engage in a strategy in order to deal with those negative emotions. So I would try to control the situation myself. In the old days, like I didn't worry about this now, but in the old days, I probably would have had help. I would have probably had, help by falling necklace on. I would have controlled my environment so that would never happen. Maybe I wouldn't even be outside by myself because the risk, right? And so this loop, the less loop is that for every pattern that I have from my past, it usually has a limiting belief, negative emotions, and strategies. And when they get triggered, they influence how I move through my present day experience. So the joy about the other day is that, the chair wasn't working, and it's like, oh, look, my phone's here. Isn't that incredible? So I called a friend, they came over. Like, so
Yeah, you asked for
it's
help.
just, this is the beauty about cleaning up our less loops. Because when you do that, it opens you up to the tons of solutions or movements forward, regardless of what the situation is.
Wow. Now you transitioned, you mentioned about being a teacher, and that was kind of tough on you, physically, and obviously now being in a chair, but you are also transitioned from not just, okay, walker to wheelchair, transitioned from teaching work to life coach. How has that transition been for you? Well, I guess you're still a
I love it.
teacher, but not
I mean,
maybe in a school setting.
I almost feel like, well, I do feel that this is my journey. I thought it was to teach forever till I retired, but apparently it wasn't. It was to be a life coach. And, on this journey of being a life coach, I've met so many remarkable people. I continued my own exploration on myself. And then, I really just feel it's helped me to serve in a different way. So whether it was a teacher or a life coach, I do believe that I'm just living out the life that I'm meant to live. And I'm looking forward to however that shows up. And yeah, I might get worse, and probably I'll be doing different things. And I think that if I just allow myself to go with the flow of that rather than resist it, I'm able to find the joy in it as well. And because I think that's really what we're all here to do. We're just here to find to be joyful. That's our natural state.
I've heard from other people I've interviewed or talked to that have FSHD that sometimes they have this sense of feeling less than because of FSHD. As a life coach with your experience, and I know everyone's different and you would manage probably every person in some unique way because we all are different. But the best way you can kind of generalize it, how would you help someone with that kind of feeling?
That's like, it's one little feeling or one little thought, but it has huge implications. So for example, I might ask a client, because you have FSHD, what does that say about you? And everybody's going to have a different list. And I would just say, let's just, you know, let it fly. What does it say about you having FSH?
Yeah.
And, you know, my list was pretty awful. When I, you know, it was like, I'm weak, I'm useless, I can't contribute.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough. I'm not valuable. No one will love me. Like go on and on and on.
Right.
So that is the story that we've learned to be true based on our past about, to be valuable, you need to be working full time. To be loved, you have to have this perfect body, or like, but that story, those attachments are unique for everyone. Mm-hmm. So in coaching, what I do is I go in and we find the story and we start to question, you know, is that really true? You know, and find those less loops that are getting triggered as a result of having FSH. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why I think that I'm so excited about this work, is that so many of us who have a different life journey, like having FSH, is that we think it's the FSH that's causing our emotional stress and pain and suffering. Hmm. But that's not my experience. It's my thinking and the stories I'm telling myself that are creating that emotional pain and suffering. Hmm. So if I can, I have the power to change that. I have the power to change my experience. It's not the FSHD that is creating the, making me less than. It's my thoughts about what having FSHD means that's creating the suffering.
Hmm. Kind of turning the perspective a little bit there, right? The viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. Because to say like, okay, so am I less than as a life coach than I was as a teacher? And I would argue I'm better as a life coach with FSHD than I ever would have been as a teacher, because I would never have had these types of insights had I not done the work that I do.
Wow. Yeah.
And so if someone says, you know, I believed I was less than because I wasn't a teacher, I'm better than because I have FSHD, because it's brought me to this work. It's prevented me from relying on anything outside of me. For me to depend on anything outside of me to change how I feel.
Yeah.
I can't work, keep myself busy. I can't, you know, do sports to occupy my mind. I can't do all those things. I can't go, let's say, I don't know, travel. Mm-hmm. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So when all of those, that noise is left, you know, eliminated, and I'm left with, okay, I can live with FSHD and keep doing what I'm doing and feel sorry for myself, mm-hmm. or I can have FSHD and change my perception that this is a gift and live life from there. Mm. And when I did that and I found the gifts in my experience, I started to notice the gifts beyond that, you know, like beyond just my little story. I don't know if that makes sense, but
it does. I mean, it sounds like you found, I mean, that goes along the lines of your bigger purpose. And you might even shock people by say, if it wasn't for FSHD, would you have found that?
No, I would have. I was the queen of keeping myself busy. Hmm. I was, you know, I was athletic. I was, you know, I partied. I, you know, socialized. I, you know, was involved in 50 million things. And that was the strategy I used to occupy, to keep me happy. Mm. So I didn't have to deal with all those buried emotions or stress.
Right.
So when they were gone and all that stress came up, it was, I had to deal with it. And FSH gave me that gift because I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah. A question I like to ask a lot of people too is, you know, I find that FSHD has this, you know, physical side to the disease and then an emotional or, you know, mental side, you know, I guess emotional is a little better word to use. Which do you find, and maybe it's changed since the time you found out you had FSHD to now, but what side seems to affect you, I guess, worse or impact your life more? Is it the physical or the emotional?
I would say the emotional, because in my experience, it is the emotional, mental processes that create the pain and suffering. You know, I told you about the Tylenol 3s and all that, dealing with the pain. Well, here I am. I'm not taking anything. I'm not doing anything different, except I'm in a wheelchair and I worked on my mental and emotional processes, and I am pain free. I am happier than I've ever been. So my physical body had nothing to do with it. My physical body is having an experience. I'm having an experience of this physical body. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And if my mental and emotional health is good, then I'm having a good journey. But if my mental and emotional well-being is caught up in these loops, then my experience of the body is going to be bad. Like it's just an experience. Yeah.
Yeah. One ties to the other. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I kind of agree with you. I think it's, especially for me, it's more the emotional, but I haven't had the physical issues as strong as others. I think that's part of it. But yeah, to me, it's the, you know, what ifs and, you know, dealing with it or asking for help. All the things you've talked about today, man, I'm like shaking my head, you know, like, yeah, wow, I can totally relate to pretty much everything you've been talking about. Heck, everything that you've talked about within this. Next question then is, how about advice for someone that just is recently diagnosed and they're, you know, just finding this out about themselves now? Maybe they've known something's off physically, but they get the news that this is FSHD. And unfortunately, some people get a really kind of a, I call it a doom and gloom, you know, diagnosis. Well, there's no treatment, there's no cure. I mean, I didn't even get a pamphlet on it when I got diagnosed. I was pretty much sent out the door and, you know, off to Google I went.
I didn't mean to laugh, but it's like, yeah I mean, right? We're all kind of dealing with all these crazy, situations.
Yeah, so what advice would you give them? I think it would be really valuable.
You know, that message that they get is going to trigger their less loops. And I know I keep talking about it because that's really what it does.
Yeah.
Because, you know, somebody like me, you know, I couldn't raise my arms above my head. I didn't get the diagnosis. So I just went on and I just went on with my life when I wasn't like affected. It wasn't until I got the diagnosis that all of a sudden I'm depressed. But really, what changed?
Right.
Like nothing changed except my perception of what my life will be like. So in other words, I was what you might be is you might be invested in what you think your life will be. And it's in the loss. You're actually, with the diagnosis, you may be grieving the loss of that. In my experience, that was not the case. FSH, the diagnosis, actually led me on a different journey than the one I thought I was going to have. And although you may have the diagnosis, it is you have this incredible opportunity to have this unique journey through life that you may not have otherwise had. And if you find that it knocks you into a state of depression, or you feel like you can't, you know, your life is over, that kind of, then I believe that if you can reach out for resources, because it's a transitional experience. It's just it's a transition that you're going through. And if you can get support to move through that, that would be beneficial. It may be, you know, professional help. It may be friends and family. It may be taking a look at your less loops, or doing some self-help reading and recognize how mentally and emotionally that you're processing what's happening is what's creating your pain, not the diagnosis.
That's fascinating. And I think that is great advice. How about way people, if they want to learn more about you or maybe reach out to you, follow you either through social, what are those avenues that they can do that?
Yeah, for sure. My website, it's right there on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
www.lauriebrandt.com. I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and you know, my books are available on where books are being sold. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, the Happiness Toolbox, I think is, if you're just, you know, opening up to the idea of being able to maybe transform your thinking and your emotions, that book might be a really good start. I think it, I think you probably find yourself a lot in that book because I talk a lot of about the stories and how the patterns that I recognized were influencing how I was feeling and moving through the world. And if anyone, you know, you just feel like you want to reach out, you can always PM me through Facebook as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that the resources you offer for people, I think could be a huge value, you know, in navigating through this. And because you have FSHD, it's obviously then relatable for some, and they might honestly find a lot of comfort in that. So I wanted to make sure that they knew how to find you, you know, and kind of make that bridge a little bit. Thanks, Lori, for being here and continuing your awesome work and what you're doing. It's a huge positive influence in our group, in our circle, but even, of course, beyond that, beyond the FSHD community. Really, really proud to have this conversation with you. It was a blast.
Thank you, Tim. It was great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you to Lori for joining us. So why don't we take a quick break, because we want to definitely hear from some of our sponsors. We come back, we'll do a little recap of that interview. You're listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. You're listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. FSHD Radio is sponsored by Dyne Therapeutics, a muscle disease company focused on advancing innovative, life-transforming therapeutics for people living with genetically driven diseases. Dyne is developing a broad portfolio of therapies for muscle diseases, including programs in facioscapulohumeral muscular dystrophy, myotonic dystrophy type 1, and Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. Utilizing its proprietary Force platform, Dyne is developing modern oligonucleotide therapeutic candidates designed to overcome limitations in delivery to muscle. For more information, please visit dyne-tx.com and follow Dyne on LinkedIn and Twitter. Welcome back to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here. You can email me if you'd like, even after the show. Some have. And I love the connection. So if you can do that, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org is a great way to do it. Our special thank you to Lori Brandt. You can visit her at loriebrandt.com. The new book, Alignment Strategy, is out. And I think she mentioned her other book. Let's see here. Is it... Man, I wrote it down. You guys know. The Happiness Toolbox, I believe, is what she said is titled. But you can learn more about those books and everything she's doing at loriebrandt.com. It was exciting to talk to her for me because, to be honest with you, I know this is a pre-recorded show, so this is new to you. But, you know, when I hit the stop on the record button side, me and Lori stayed and talked on another, like, 20 minutes. And she helped me personally, to be honest with you, and had no problem doing it. We continued a conversation that had to do with career shift and mindset of how to deal with certain negative things and this and that. Huge value to me. And the fact that she just extended the conversation to a personal level was really, really cool. And very, very grateful for that and that extra time that she gave. That was not really planned. I just felt compelled to just ask a couple more questions and then it just turned into this really great conversation that we had. So I really implore you to reach out to her and look into the work she's doing when it comes to life coaching. I know that some people look at life coaching and they eye roll, like, really? Or like, I've been accused of, when I'm trying to be more positive about certain things or have a different mindset and things, that I'm almost been accused of being like a rah-rah guy, which I don't like that. It's not about false positive. It's about how can we cope, deal with things, and then, of course, make a positive impact in our lives and those around us. I think Lori can help in that. I think there's a lot of valuable nuggets of wisdom that she shared in this interview, but it's a short, you know, amount that she can offer you. There's a lot more than that, you know, that's out there. I also wanted to take the time here is that I know that with these next couple months doing pre-recorded interviews, I really thank you all for still tuning in, listening to the shows. I always try to interact still on Facebook there and watch along with you. But with me being a coach in the season upon me here, this is definitely a more manageable way to kind of keep the shows rolling and keep them on a great schedule for you. That's why I really want to hear from you, not just during these shows, but even after. If there's things you want to talk about, we can. If you have great show ideas, or if you know guests out there that would like to be on the show, we had someone reach out to me from the UK that's looking like you'll probably be a guest on an upcoming show in July. So there's always that, you know, open door for those that want to kind of chat. Sometimes it might work out. We can have you on the show. Sometimes it won't, but either way, I want the connection. And that's really what this is about. It's about you guys. I was also really proud to kind of mention that not only did we get a sponsor for the show, but now we have three. So PerkinElmer, Dyne Therapeutics, and Fulcrum, all three of which you probably all know very well in the FSHD community, but the fact that they took it yet again, the next step to be sponsors, and you heard the Dyne Therapeutics ad there. So, you know, we're going to have some more breaks, but we want to make sure that their time is being used for what they've been so generously sponsoring the show. We always want to make sure that we hear from them. So we're going to take another break and kind of do a little back-to-back sponsors here with hearing from Fulcrum and PerkinElmer. So stay tuned. We come back on the other side of this break. We will finish up. We'll close out the show and make sure that we talk about news and events coming up in the FSHD Society. Listen to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Today's podcast is sponsored by PerkinElmer Genomics, a market leader in biochemical and genomic testing solutions. PerkinElmer Genomics understands that obtaining a confirmed genetic diagnosis for FSHD can be a difficult and frustrating experience for both patients and their families. That's why their laboratory prides itself on launching new and innovative technologies to help families find answers that they are looking for. Just over a year ago, PerkinElmer Genomics introduced the first new diagnostic approach to FSHD type 1 genetic testing in nearly three decades. This testing has drastically decreased the time to diagnose while increasing accessibility to patients. Knowing the underlying cause of FSHD can have important implications for the entire family, including help with future medical management decisions. Speak with your provider today and learn more about how you can get testing. Visit PerkinElmerGenomics.com to find out more about available testing options for FSHD and other related neuromuscular disorders that may help you and your family today. That's PerkinElmerGenomics.com. Today's FSHD Society Radio Show is sponsored by Fulcrum Therapeutics. Fulcrum is a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, advancing new medicines that target the root cause of genetically defined rare diseases such as FSHD and sickle cell disease. Fulcrum's approach to drug discovery combines insights from patients with rare diseases with the most advanced tools to identify and develop therapeutics that will target the root cause. For several years, Fulcrum has been honored to work with the FSHD community in efforts to build awareness of the impact of FSHD on individuals and families. Fulcrum works in partnership with leaders from the patient advocacy and medical communities to highlight the impact of rare diseases and support continued research. You can connect with Fulcrum on LinkedIn and follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FulcrumTX. Welcome back to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for listening in on those great sponsors of the show. That is PerkinElmer, Dyne Therapeutics, and Fulcrum Therapeutics as well. Huge help and support from those three sponsors, and we thank them for joining in on the radio program. It's pretty phenomenal that this podcast started as this blog, talk, radio, thing that was okay. I think we've improved very, very much with the platform, especially sharing it Facebook and YouTube. It's been pretty cool. One thing I wanted to add before we get into the news and notes here is I wanted to share this. It was out there on Facebook. It's a gentleman that I follow. His wife's been on the show, Hassan Yeager, Jenny, I believe, is her name. But the father has been very much involved in baseball, Brad has. And Brad Hassenager shared this on Facebook because his son has FSHD and is been involved with baseball. And he's college age, I believe. And he's a young man. We can't really play the game anymore. And his son's name is Sawyer. And he is now helping at the Everett Community College in Washington for the Trojans there on their baseball club. And the coach, I think, also has FSHD or a form of muscular dystrophy. I'm not sure if it's exactly FSHD. And has kind of taken Sawyer under his wing. And he can stay in the game and coach. And the reason why I bring this up, and at least learn about coaching, the reason why I bring this up is it goes back to what Lori was saying and what past guests have said, and that's, transitioning, moving on through your life, still finding that positive thing that you're in align with. When I had the additional conversation with Lori, she asked me, when I'm on these podcasts, is it something that when I'm in, I kind of get focused in where everything else kind of goes away and you're just focused? And I said, yeah, that's exactly what happens. And she says, that is alignment. You're perfectly aligned with what you are meant to do. And if you can find that, I think that is really, right, all our quest. So thank you for giving me this opportunity to do that here. Now, the final thing we want to cover before we say goodbye for the evening here for this episode is wanted to cover what's going on events-wise on the FSHDSociety.org. You can find all this on FSHDSociety.org's website. Check out the calendar page there on the events. On the 20th of May, we have Lynn Stevens joining us on the FSHDU to talk about jobs, disability benefits, career changes. Lynn Stevens has been a guest on this show, but she's a guest on the FSHDU episode where she will talk about those things. She's the director of workforce development for Goodwill. So really important to what we've talked about today. And in just a couple days, you can join in on FSHDU and ask questions and follow along with the great wisdom and advice Lynn has for you. Then on the 23rd of May, there's the Central Texas chapter meeting talking about adaptions. How do you do this? How do you do these things? How do you adapt? Those are the questions that hopefully as a community can be answered and help you along the way. Feel free to join in. I believe it's on Zoom, 2 to 4 p.m. I think that's Central Time. Check fshdsociety.org for more info. On the 25th, there is the Caregiver Sharegiver Hour from 8 to 9 p.m. Please join in as the people that do the amazing work of caring for others, right? Have an hour to kind of share their stories and go into that community to use each other for support. It's the Caregiver Sharegiver Hour on May 25th, 8 to 9 p.m. Then we walk into June, and that is the Connecticut Connections. The tongue twister that I always have to ease into when I let you know that that's out there. 7 to 8:30 p.m., join Kathy Senecal and others as the Connecticut Connections does their virtual meeting. They were ahead of the whole virtual thing. They were the first to ever do it. And you can visit that group on the 3rd of June. Then finally, our next show is going to be, yes, a pre-recorded, but I hope you will enjoy it. Regardless, they are tagging it as, and I smile because it's kind of cool, Jammin' with Jamshid. Yes, Jamshid Arjamad, the Chief Science Officer of the FSHD Society, is going to join us as we're going to talk about things science in FSHD and maybe things going on from his perspective. What can he offer us? Find out. That is going to be on the 8th of June, normal time. I'm really looking forward to talking with Jamshid. He is was a great guest during the telethon, and I think jamming with Jamshid, I think it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So join us for that. And then in July, we're going to have the guest from the UK, Paul Ronson. He is going to join us. He's a DJ and has an interesting life and has FSHD, and I really wanted to share his story. It sounds extremely interesting. So thank you all for joining me. Feel free to email me. As said before, I am open to hear from you. Go to fshdradio@fshdsociety.org as the email address. Visit fshdsociety.org to find out more about this show and other events coming up and how you can get involved, be part of a chapter. That'd be kind of cool, and see all the other things going on in our community. Thanks for being here during this episode, and look forward to seeing you next month. You've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.